You are listening to the Uncommon Truth Podcast, produced by the Father's House Church in Oroville, California. I'm Luke, and we created this podcast because we want to explore Christianity the way that Jesus intended it to be. If you're interested in joining us on this journey, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, or for more resources, check out changeoroville.org. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Uncommon Truth Podcast. We are back today after a little break while Steve and Vicky were away.
Yes, it was a great time.
Vicky is actually not here with us right now.
Yeah.
But she'll be back for our next episode.
Yeah, did we miss any weeks?
We didn't miss any weeks, but we did some past episodes.
Oh, okay.
That kind of stuff to keep us going. But we're excited to be back with some new content for you today.
Awesome. So, chapter 11, huh?
Chapter 11 of In His Likeness. We've been moving our way through this book written by Steve right
by
next
me.
To me.
Yeah. By me.
Yep, and this... This is a study of what's the overall purpose of this book? If someone's jumping in today, what is this book?
The purpose
all about?
Of this book is to teach us how to walk in the world as Jesus walked in the world, to be like Jesus, to be disciples or imitations. I would call it Christian, which is little anointed one, a little version of the anointed one. Yeah. And so that's what I think the book's about.
That's good.
And it sure inspires me. Yeah. And I read it from time to time just to be reinvigorated with what God downloaded in me.
That's good. So if you haven't read the book and you want to read the book as well, you can purchase it on Amazon, search for In His Likeness by Steve Orsillo, or you can come purchase a copy at the Father's House here in Oroville, and we'd love to meet you in person too, so that'd be fun. But today we're in chapter 11, which is called What Gift Have We Been Given? So this episode next week, we're talking about gifts, which is something we don't talk about too much on The Uncommon Truth, so I think it'll be an interesting change of pace. So,
yes. So, here we go. I always marvel at the messages I hear about spiritual gifts and the uses of these gifts. I'm always more confused when I leave than when I started listening. The message most commonly communicated is that each person is given one gifting and they're supposed to operate only in that gift. People seem to be clear on this subject, taking their belief from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. But when Paul described how each gift is to be used individually, as each person is allowed to play a role in the church and in the community, Paul was dealing with a problem we don't have: competition. These people were gifted with the gift, and there were too many gifted people and not enough time to get all of the gifts in. So he was giving them guidelines as how to have a church service with all these gifts and avoid conflict.
Yep.
Part of Paul's instruction was to let each one prophesy and each one speak in tongues in order, not all at once. He also taught that if anyone was sick, they should call the elders to lay hands on them and be healed. Does this mean only men with a gift of healing can be elders in the church, or that when you're aged, you become a healer? But when you age, you become a healer? No, it simply means that those men who have been called up to the elders should be able to rightly understand their sonship and their authority. They should, as time passes, come to know the will of their Father and be able to heal you.
That's a good message. And I think that, right, there's that the scripture we're talking about is, like you said, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 14, Paul starts to talk about this, says,
yes.
You know, therefore, I let one speak in tongues, and I let one do this, and one do
let
that.
Let each one speak in tongues, but in turn, and with an interpretation, because then the understanding comes.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's more talking about how to do it in church
or in order
in a context, as opposed to,
I believe he makes it real clear that it's in the order of things, and that's the problem, is this disorder. Nobody gets anything. And I think that my most common learning, I mean, this was the most common subject in the late 70s. It was a battle between the non-charismatic and charismatic churches in this argument about these gifts, and you know, there seems to be teaching from Paul that the gifts are given. One gets this, one gets that, one gets this. And then in other places he says, I want you all to speak in tongues.
Right.
I want you all to prophesy, but in order, one at a time. And he leaves the very direct impression that everybody has everything, and not everybody operates in everything every time.
Right.
Like in this service, I'll be doing the tongues, and next one I'll be doing the interpretation, and then words of wisdom and words of encouragement, mm-hmm. and different teachings and healings. And so we're supposed to come fully with the gift, not a gift.
Right.
And we should be, our quiver should be full. Our ammo belt should be full. We should have it all in our ammo belt to be able to use when needed. You know, funny, just the idea of a soldier having all these different uses for the different things he has hanging on his belt.
Mm. That's good.
So it's like we should each have all of these. But the main thing he's talking about is the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When Jesus Christ comes on you, your sins are forgiven you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And that's Peter telling the crowd, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this amazed them because they thought the gift of the Holy Spirit was only going to come to them, the children of Israel, the mm-hmm. Jews. And they were amazed because the gift was clearly given to the Gentiles as well. And I think that battle, that misunderstanding, you know, what do you operate in? What is your gift? My gift is knowing God and being filled with his presence and being able to do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, it's the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet was to clarify this thing. Yeah, but I'm not having a gift because it doesn't overcome me and I don't become a robot and the Holy Spirit doesn't do things.
Right.
No, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It's up to you to feel the Holy Spirit's prompting and urging and then speak.
Yeah.
Or listen or act. Do what he's, inspiring you to do. For the gift that you receive is him living in you. And he certainly is not limited to one operation of giftings.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different times in my life where I've had these teachings and these discussions, and I usually come away so confused I don't understand it, that the Holy Spirit is the gift, and he can do everything, and he's in me. And he won't do anything, but he can do anything that I move out on in faith to do.
Yeah. How does that work? I mean, I can just think in my life that there do seem to be people, whether it's just their faith or what it is, I don't know, who seem to operate in certain gifts more easily than others, or they seem to have an anointing for healing or anointing for this. Like, but it doesn't mean that's all they have, right, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that's all they have.
Yeah.
In fact, none of those people who heal in my life, Catherine Coleman and mm-hmm. any of the people that I've seen have healing ministries, mm-hmm. Morris Cirillo, any of those people, it's what they highlight. It's what mm-hmm. they promise you when you come. It's mm-hmm. what they operate in. They come with great expectations, so therefore that's what operates.
Mm-hmm.
But not one of them ever only operates in that gift that night.
Right.
They are teaching. They are speaking and encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they're not tongues and interpretation, but they're definitely speaking from the wisdom of God and trying to impart teachings to people. And so they're operating in all these different gifts. But the one we all came to see, because we're so addicted to miracles and we need God to prove himself to us, is the gift of healing. And so if you're pretty good at operating in the gift of healing, you could probably get people to come from long distances. Mm. I know that Catherine Coleman or Mariah Woodard Edders, I'm sure Benny Hinn, people travel great distances to come to any crusade they have, and they want to see it. But those guys, I don't understand why they seem to have a gift mm-hmm. of healing, but I think it's more they have learned to operate the gift of healing. So just like I could leave the keys in my backhoe because hardly anyone knows how to operate it.
Right.
But if you know how to operate it, then you can operate it.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows how to operate gets in my backhoe, they don't have any problem. They know exactly what to do. And I think that's really more about the gift of healing. It's like, what gift do you have? Mm-hmm. God's presence inside of me, mm-hmm. His voice in my ear, His eyes are upon me, His love surrounds me, and I in turn have fallen in love with Him, and He gives me the ability that through my belief I can become a son of God. And a son of God is not told you can have this part of the kitchen as long as you only stay in this corner, and you can have this part of the house, but you're not allowed in that part of the house. The son has the run of the house. And I think that more than any other thing is why this message, this subject is so incredibly important, that we walk in wisdom and we walk in knowledge and we walk in grace and we have the Holy Spirit, and whatever He can do, we can do.
Yeah.
And what's the sad part of it is, if we never come to that revelation, we never step out. And we end up making the Holy Spirit look like He's not interested in the problems of this world.
Right.
But if a whole bunch of little anointed ones, for instance, went out to plant food to give to the hungry, there would be no hungry.
Yeah.
110 million people in America claim to know God, or claim to be Christians. If they went out and put seed in dirt and watered it for the purpose of feeding, there would be no food needed. People would be fed. There'd be no hungry. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did you act upon the knowledge and understanding of the gift of growing that God placed in the earth, that's not a gift of the Holy Spirit, it's a gift of creation? And did you even function in it?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you sit there and die of starvation, sitting on ground next to a bunch of seeds? Did you die of starvation sitting there and refusing to do the work it takes to plant it? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a man dying of thirst next to a stream of living water. This babbling brook going by, and he's dying of thirst in the heat because he won't reach in and take the water and drink it. Mm. I think that's really the best picture I have of how we as Christians ignore our gifts, and the world is perishing. We won't get up and do it. Yeah. I was hungry and you fed me. We won't go plant the food. Mm. If everyone planted it for the purpose of taking care of others, there'd be no one left to take care of.
Yeah. So when we receive Him, we receive His life, His nature, we're not just receiving part of Him, we're receiving the ability to be in His likeness, essentially, is what you're saying. So all the things that He did, from feeding to healing to teaching to encouraging to delivering to, you know, you name it.
It's very much the story of the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
You watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and it's all cool, it's all fun. And these beautiful angels turn into terrible killers of the Nazis. But those of us who have crazy minds, we like the way, you know, merciful here and terrible there. But the truth is, the Ark of the Covenant is not, God is not locked in a box. No, He chose to put His presence in this place called the Ark. And He chose to make it the focal point of how they see Him. And if they wanted anything, if they wanted healing, if they wanted provision, they wanted rain out of season, or they wanted rain in due season, they would go before that box and ask God. And He's not the box. He's in the box. Mm-hmm. And it's behind a curtain to protect you from His presence. In Christianity, we go and we bow our hearts before Him. Should be in repentance, the turning from following ourselves to following Him. It should be the, I was going that way, following me, building mine, seeking for mine, and I turned to seek for Him, to seek His, to be His. And so when you turn and you become a Christian, the veil tears and God comes out of the box once and for all for you. And He comes out of the box and you become the box. You become the Ark of God's presence. You carry Him in the world. And can you imagine people come to you and they can't get anything? They can't get food. They can't get water. They can't get help. They can't get love. They can't get advice. Well, if they didn't get it from you, they didn't get it from God. And I think more than any other thing, that's the vision us Christians have got to start seeing, that the gift given to me Most first and foremost was forgiveness, to make me holiness, to give me righteousness so that the Holy Spirit could suitably dwell in me, to make my vessel a place of dwelling. And Jesus does that with the cross. And the Holy Spirit fills me up with his presence, and I become the ark of God. And he is in me, and those that don't know him come to me, and they should find him if they come to me. And that's really the goal here, is that we become the ark of God, the place where God dwells. We carry him. And when we go from Oroville into the next town, we should take him with us. And they might have had a lot of people filled with God in that town, but when we get there, they have more. They, you know, their prayer for more is answered. And we ought to come in the name of the Lord Jesus to feed the 5,000 and cleanse the lepers and heal the blind, make the blind man see, and let the deaf hear, and raise the dead. And that's what, when we walk in, we should be the ark of God, bringing the gifts. We should speak in tongue, their language to them. Mm-hmm. We should interpret what God's saying to them. We should tell them he's saying this to you, and he's saying that to you. Mm-hmm. And if you'll turn this way, people, you'll be saved, and you'll be forgiven. But if you turn that way, you will end up standing before him with no shield, with no fortress, with no defense. And so we should come in his name with his voice, with his heart, with his mind.
Yeah.
And we should be the ark that God travels in.
That's really good.
Every one of us should become the ark of God, the carrying place, the place where God dwells. Yeah. And when we go, we should represent him. And that's when we say gifts. When we have any kind of Bible study about spiritual gifts, it should be a Bible study about him being the gift. Mm. What do you want? You want a gift? Yeah, what can I have? Healing. Man, you're cutting yourself short, dude. You left out the whole other side of God. Yeah. What do you want? I want it all. Yep, you get it all then, because he brings it all. He comes and the fullness of God is pleased to dwell in you.
Yeah.
And he gives you all of him. And he makes his home in us. How many of us have a home and we don't store our favorite things there? We make sure they don't come there. Mm-hmm. None of us. We want our favorite things, our favorite loved ones and everything to be in our home. Well, God makes his home in us.
Yeah.
We are his favorite place. We are, and there's 110 million in America, probably in the world, there's probably 800 or 900 million. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe a billion or more than a billion who claim to be the house of God, who claim to be the dwelling place. Well, the world shouldn't have all these problems then. There should be a lot of healing going on. There should be a lot of words of knowledge and words of correction and words of edification and build up, if you don't know what that means. There's encouragement. There ought to be so much love in the world that there can't be a war.
Right.
There'd be hippies full of God's love putting flowers in tank barrels and you know. Yeah. Blocking the road, you know, you're gonna have to run over all of us to take your weapons to war. Let me share Jesus. Let me tell you what God wants for you. And right. I mean, if everyone that claimed to be Christian understood they're the ark of God, and they had all the fullness of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of the nine fruit of the Spirit that comes with him belong to you, and healing and knowledge and encouragement and edification and teaching. Anyway.
No, that's good. I was thinking as you're describing that, you started off in this chat to reading that part where you say, you know, Paul had to give them instructions because there were so many of them wanting to.
Yeah.
Do stuff that they had to, right? So if we all got that revelation, it would kind of be the same problem again. Okay, today it's your turn.
Yeah, we'd have to take turns.
Right.
It's like feeding the hungry in a town. Like, you know, hey, I'm going to feed the homeless. With 70 churches, there's not enough days.
Right.
We should be fighting each other. Like, when do I get to? Well, you guys feed them every day. When do we get to come in and feed them? They don't even come. They won't come to us because they're always running to you to get fed. Would you maybe not feed them on Tuesdays and let us feed them? We should be arguing over that.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're not. That takes money, time, and energy.
Yeah.
And we're not fighting over that. But we don't, because I think the bare root problem is probably the misunderstanding of the giftings. Mm-hmm. You don't understand the gift is yours to feed the hungry.
That's good.
And Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me not.
Yeah.
And he sent them away to punishment. Yeah. I'm like, that's a scary thought right there.
I think, you know, the book doesn't quite go here in this moment, but I think it's an important point to make, is the there is a whole sect or group of Christianity who I think are pursuing the gifts of the Spirit, but not necessarily honoring the giver of the gifts, right? There's that problem too, which I think creates some confusion, right?
I think that is, in a nutshell, that's the whole problem. They seek the gift and not the giver.
Yeah.
I think that's clearly spelled out in the Bible, that that's just not the thing to do.
Right.
You want the giver, not the gift.
Right.
You've got the giver. He's a giver.
Right.
You can't stop the gifts. You want the gift without the giver. You can have all kinds of counterfeits.
Yeah.
You can have all kinds of mess, man. I've seen so much mess in people that make anointing more important than character. Mm. They want gifts more than they want to be transformed. I really want my prayer to be to only gift me as much as my character can handle.
Wow.
Because, I mean, when you're a gifted, charismatic person, you can entice people to all kinds of sin. Mm. And I don't want that ever. No. I want that as zero in my life. Yeah. So,
and I think, and that's another one of the confusions, I think, sometimes with the gifts, right, is we're talking about healing evangelists or whatever, there's questions of why this person seems to have this gift, yet the character shows in history they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. But I think that what you're describing here in this chapter is that it's not just prophecy or healing or whatever, it's receiving the gift of God into our lives comes alongside of his, like you said, the fruit of the Spirit, including self-control or including love or selfless, all that stuff is supposed to come as one, right?
That's absolutely correct, yeah. I think that, you know, this is a short chapter because it's basically what you do is you just say it and let it's what Jesus did. Yeah. You say it and let it go.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody gets it. Not nobody, but few get it, you know. And it's so easy to lead people towards giftings because it's exciting. Everybody wants to, like you said, someone sets up shop here, they're going to have a big revival, a big crusade, and the name gets up, and everybody runs to it. Mm-hmm. So you want to have that so people run to you. But the truth is, that isn't why you want to have that.
No.
You want to have that because God lives inside of you.
Yeah.
And he came to save, heal, and deliver. And I want to be used in your ministry of saving, healing, and deliver. But I have no ability to save, heal, or deliver. Mm-hmm. I need you.
Yeah.
And so it's a celebration of my having you, the Holy Spirit in me. And that's the key to everything, in my opinion.
Yeah. And one more thing you said earlier that I wanted to come back to is you kind of said there's so many people who maybe get addicted to God having to prove himself to us through signs and wonders. Can you expand a little bit on that?
And Jesus said only a perverse and evil generation seeks after a sign. When they come and said, well, show us a sign of who you are, show us a sign to prove who you are, he said, well, you know, only an evil and perverse generation seeks after a sign. And what he's talking about is, if you have experienced me, been in my presence, and you still need a sign to prove who I am, then you're lost. That's really all he's saying. And so signs and wonders have to be for the purpose of helping people, not proving God. Hmm. And I know for a fact, if you want to name something supernaturally, you name it, you say, you promise, you want to see, you'll see miracles you've never seen, you'll come here and everybody's healed, you'll get a crowd. Hmm. But what happens when you don't produce is you destroyed faith.
Yeah.
They lose faith and they wander away. And people who were seeking God are no longer seeking God because you called them aside to see signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. You want to know a sign and wonder, the greatest sign and wonder of all, the sign and wonder that should be what we all talk about is the forgiveness of our sins and the indwelling spirit in our bodies.
Right.
That is the miracle of miracles. The indwelling spirit is by far the greatest miracle that's ever happened on planet Earth. I don't think it's that surprising that he lived in a box called the Ark of the Covenant behind a 4-foot curtain to protect man from his holiness. I don't think that's amazing at all. I think they all came every year to that temple because he's there. And they had to journey and spend money. Mm-hmm. They had to not work, and they had to come, and they had to live in the field, sleep on the ground to be there for these festivals. I think what's amazing is he ripped the curtain and came out and makes it possible for you and I to be his ark, his dwelling place, his home. And that's the miracle of miracles, that he accomplished that on the cross, that I could be made holy by his blood, by his forgiveness, to be able to entertain and accommodate the indwelling Spirit of God in Jesus Christ. That's the miracle of all miracles. That's the greatest sign and wonder there is on planet Earth.
Yeah.
But if I were to start talking about that in a crowd, it'd be snory. It'd be a big old snore, man. It'd be like, you know, is he done yet? Because we're not talking about, oh, he's totally healed, man. It's, you know, signs and wonders for the sake of signs and wonders.
Yeah. Well, I think to close this episode, if you could just read, Steve, from that last paragraph that starts on page 62, and now here we are.
From where I ended, read the rest of this.
And now here we are at the bottom, then.
And now here we are, the blood-bought children of God, told of a promise of the holiness of God coming to live inside of us, instead of living in the Ark of the Covenant. He, the God of holiness, is going to live in us. But when we finally get an understanding of this incredible miracle, we then limit him by saying the gift is one operation, an operation of healing or faith or prophesying, of working of miracles or so on, not understanding that the gift is him. The purpose of the gift is to cause us to become like him, to do the things he does, say the things he says, know what he knows, believe what he believes. When we become like him, we will naturally heal and work miracles and have knowledge we have not earned.
So I think that's a great place for us to land the plane for this one. So again, thank you for listening so much. If you want to read more of this book, you can pick it up at Amazon, Steve Rosillo in His Likeness. We have all of our episodes also available to you on YouTube, Father's House Orville, alongside sermons from the Father's House. So please check all of that out. And I also want to take a moment to invite you to check out our School of Transformation and School of Transformation Light, which is a ministry school that teaches you all about who God is and who that makes you. You can check that out at transformationschool.org. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Truth podcast today. I hope this episode encouraged you, inspired you, maybe even challenged you to keep seeking after everything Jesus has for you and the life he calls you to live. If you haven't already, please take a moment and subscribe to the Uncommon Truth podcast. That way you'll get every episode each week when it's released. It would really help us if you could rate, review, and even share this podcast with anyone that you think would be encouraged by it. Help us spread the message to more people so that we can all live out this Christianity the way Jesus intended it to be. If you would like to get in touch with us, have any questions about the podcast, the topics, or would even like us to pray for you, you can do so by emailing us at uncommontruthpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next time.